ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
It's going to be a difficult pose to hold. You're going to have to change hands and change holders also. You can't help thinking of those sadhus. So they hold their hand in the air for years and it all withers up. And that's a sign of some... Sign of what? Sign that their hand withered up. What benefit did they get from that? Maybe they burned out some sinful reactions. I don't know. Fortunately, Prabhupada didn't ask us to do things like that. Name 546 in Vishnu Sahasranama is Guhya. Which means concealed, mysterious, difficult to understand. There's a name which came previous to this, Guha, which has a similar meaning. And in this same verse of Vishnu Sahasranam, the next three names... After this, Gabhira, Gahanaha and Guptaha, which all have similar meanings. It's a well-known word, Guhya. Is it in Canada? Everyone knows the word Guhya. Something secret, yeah. Guhya Kata, secret topics. Guhya Anga, do you say that?
Yeah.
Means your private parts. I mean, secret or concealed. It's not supposed to be shown to everyone, Guhya Anga. The commentators, in various ways, they comment on this. And it is a major point, because Krishna appears in this world, but... He's not recognized by everyone. He appears in this world, but most people can't understand him. Atma vatmanyate jagat. There's a saying that people tend to judge the world and everything they see and everything around them in terms of their own subjective experience and worldview. So when they see Krishna, they think, well, he's a person, he's a human, I'm a human, so he's just like me. That is a mistake. Of course, Krishna takes many forms. Just in this verse, Mahavaraha has been discussed, the huge-bodied pig form. But that form is also completely pure. To touch an ordinary pig is very contaminating, but to even think of Varaha Dev is very purifying. So clearly, at least from Shastric descriptions, we can understand that Krishna, whether he appears as Krishna or Matsya, Kurumha, Varaha, Narasimha, whichever form he appears in, he's a very different kind of person to us. In fact, the form of Krishna is more difficult to understand. If we say Narasimha, we say, well, that's a very difficult form to understand. How can we understand there's a man and a lion combined? Or if we think of Varaha Dev, comes out of the nostril of Lord Brahma and then expands himself to a huge size, very difficult to understand or to even imagine, but Krishna is more difficult to understand. The form of Krishna is more difficult to understand because he appears from the womb of Devaki, specifically from the womb. That chapter is there at the beginning of the 10th chapter, the Garbha Stuti, the demigods pray to Krishna in the Garbha, who's in the womb of Devaki. And he grows up, he has wives and children. He appears to be very ordinary in many ways, so it's more difficult to understand him. In many ways, he doesn't always show his transcendental opulences, and sometimes he appears to be completely dependent upon his devotees. He becomes angry with his mother when she doesn't feed him milk, sometimes, like an ordinary child. So, Krishna is most mysterious. The knowledge in the Vedas is usually misunderstood. Trigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. Vedaischa Sarvaraha Vedyaha. But at face value, much of the Vedas, they appear to be meant for sense gratification. Krishna is Guhya, the Upanishads, they describe knowledge of the subtle, knowledge of the Atma, that which is not very easily understood. Direct knowledge, or what appears, pratyaksha, that which is perceived by the senses, that appears to be something very easy to understand. Here is a tree. So you can look and see the tree. It's easy to understand by the senses, but then to understand more about it, how it grows, how it develops from a seed, how the flowers form and then fruits, all this can be only understood by going more deeply into the matter. And although there are so many biologists all over the world, mostly they don't, or botanists, they don't understand, or they probably don't even think about the point that the life of the tree, jivanam sarva bhuteshu, the life of everything that lives is Krishna, is the Atma, which makes possible the tree. So this is more subtle knowledge. So subtle knowledge of the Atma is given in the Upanishads. But then, there's even more subtle knowledge. Now, can I close that door so I don't have to listen to this squeaky cinema song? We have better things to discuss. So the knowledge in the Upanishads is generally understood to be knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Yadadvaitam brahma upanishadi tadapyasya tanubha. About Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described that the Brahman, who is described in the Upanishads, that light, Brahma Jyotir, is the effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So that is very guhya, difficult to understand. Or it's not commonly perceivable. People, to understand this, they have to change their whole way of thinking. Instead of thinking of this world as a place to be enjoyed, people who can understand the spiritual basis of everything, they can understand what is impersonal Brahman. And even more confidential is knowledge of Paramatma, and even more confidential is knowledge of Bhagavan. Now, how is this? Oh, yeah. So that's one meaning. Another meaning of Guhya is who is hidden in the Guha, in the heart. So he's there, but we can't see him. Now, how is it that Krishna is so difficult to find? We don't see it. People say, show me God, and they think that's it. The atheists, they think that it's just obvious there's no God. We don't see him, touch him, taste him, smell him, feel him, hear him. There's no God. You can't find God in a microscope or a telescope or a whatever scope. There's no God. But they don't consider that there are other methods of perception or other methods of perception beyond that which is perceived by the senses. Or there are other levels of experience beyond that which is experienced at the gross level. Indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya parang manahai. Manasastu para buddhe, yo buddhe paratastu saha. There's the sensual level, the mental level, the intellectual level, and beyond that is the spiritual level. So people who can only come to, at the most, the intelligent level, based on what they observe in this world, then they cannot enter into the spiritual experience. But if we postulate that, well, Krishna, God, is everywhere, everything goes on by his direction, he's our most dear friend, he's in our heart, he wants us to know him, and therefore he personally comes to this world to show himself to us. He gives us scriptures. Not only the Vedas, there are scriptures in various cultures throughout the world which are all meant for bringing people to him. We have an eternal, intimate relationship with him. He's in our heart. He's everywhere. Then why is he secret, or why can't we perceive him? It would seem that for all the for everything that's said about God, he should be the most available. In the Quran, it's also said he's more close to you than your jugular vein. So what's the answer to that? Well, we can find that in Bhagavad Gita. There's several verses in this regard. And well-known verse, Nahaṁ prakāśa sarvasya yogamaya samāvṛta mūrho yaṁ nābhijānāti lokā māma jamavyayam. And just look that up. Now, it's often very useful to come to Shastra and Srila Prabhupada's purports when we're discussing a particular point and see it from this particular angle. Now we're discussing, why is it that Krishna, who wants us to know him, who we have an intimate relationship with, who is everywhere, who is within our hearts, and still he's very difficult to find? Especially I'm saying Krishna. That takes us to another point. Because God in general is difficult to understand. And Krishna means Krishna in Vrindavan. His pastimes are most difficult to understand. Even Brahma became bewildered by them. Brahma studied all the Vedas 3 times. And came to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then when Krishna came running in Vrindavan, Brahma thought, something seems wrong here. There was nothing wrong. Everything was completely right. But the only thing that was wrong was that Brahma couldn't understand because Krishna is guhya. So let's discuss this well-known verse, which we've all discussed and considered many times. I presume that most of you here have learn this verse, the Sanskrit for this verse. It's a well-known and important verse. So let's go through it now with the translation and purport, specifically considering this point. that why is Krishna so hidden or secret when in so many ways it seems that he should be the most obvious thing of all. Nahaṁ prakāśa sarvasya yoga māyā samāvṛtaḥ mūḍho yaṁ na bijānāti loko māṁ ajñāvyayam. Yeah, well, there's the answer in one word. We're all mūḍhas, but fools. So the translation, I, Krishna says, am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Purport. It may be argued that since Krishna was visible to everyone when he was present on this earth, how can it be said that he is not manifest to everyone? So the same point. Krishna was here in this world, and why couldn't people recognize? This is who we actually want. We're searching for happiness. We should all surrender to Krishna. Why doesn't it happen? Srila Prabhupada is traveling all over the world. Why didn't everyone just fall at his feet and surrender to him and say, yes, Prabhupada, thank you so much for coming. We surrender to you. You will give us Krishna. Why didn't it happen? Prabhupada continues the purport. How can it be said that he is not manifest to everyone? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. He was there, but he wasn't manifest to everyone. Everyone couldn't understand. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then in the assembly of the Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Now, there were others who didn't know Krishna to be the Supreme Lord. Nanda, Yashoda, Radha, they may have had some idea, but mostly they didn't think of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Even Duryodhana, he also had heard that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and had direct evidence when Duryodhana tried to capture Krishna, and Krishna appeared in so many forms and said, how many Krishnas do you want to tie up? Huh? So Yashoda and the residents of Vrindavan, their not understanding Krishna to the Supreme Lord is in a completely different platform from that of the non-devotees. So in that way, Krishna is guhya, ati guhya, more mysterious than mysterious. How the whole effort of the Vedas, Vedaishya Sarvera Hameva Vedya, is to understand Krishna. But if after doing that, if one can go beyond that to not understanding Krishna due to love, that is the highest perfection. So Krishna was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. That I was just saying, people see Krishna, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. They think, oh, I'm a human, he's a human. I have two hands, he has two hands. I have two legs, he has two legs. I have a father and mother, he has a father and mother. I have friends and enemies, he has friends and enemies. They took Krishna to be an ordinary person. He, Krishna, was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya. I'll get back to that later, maybe not in this session. Maya Javani Ka Channam. Anyajavani Kachanam Agyad Hokshajam Abhyayam Nalakshase Murha Drisha Narto Nart Yadharo Yata. Just like an actor is on a stage, is not they're there, they're seen, but they're not recognized to be who they actually are. In the same way, Krishna is not manifested to the foolish people. They see him, but they don't understand who he is. So I'll get back to that later. The Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yogamaya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishopanishad, Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Hiranmayena Patrena, Satyas ya pihitang mukham, tattvang pushan apavrino, satya dharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the yoga maya. The Brahma Jyotir is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge, is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma Jyoti, and the less intelligent impersonalists cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery. I'll just read the Sanskrit of that. Gunatmanastepi gunan vimart tum hitavatirnasya ka ishiresya kalena yair va vimita sukalpair. Bhupangshava ke mihikadyubhasha. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. That's the end of that quote. And Srila Prabhupada finishes this purport by stating, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. So the verse previous to this, chapter 7, text 25, gives more. Chapter 7, text 24, I'll read that also. More insight into how it is that Krishna is mysterious, concealed. Krishna says, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mam abuddhayaha param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. So in this verse, Krishna uses the word abuddhayaha, which means less intelligent persons, and murha in the next verse. So similar, due to foolishness, it's a willing foolishness. They don't know me. Avyaya, he says in two verses in a row. Avyaya, they don't realize how Krishna is not like them. He's not someone who's born and dies like them. He's eternal. So, the translation of this by Srila Prabhupada, unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before, and have now assumed this personality. Very common misconception that there was some avyakta, some unmanifest state, and somehow Krishna manifested out of this. It's something like this Big Bang theory. There was nothing, and then there was a bang, and then there was everything. So similarly, there was unmanifest, and then boom, Krishna appeared out of that. So due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Yamunacharya Stotra Ratna, which really sums up, one verse which really sums up the whole matter. He prays to Krishna in this way. Yamunacharya prays to Krishna. Tvam shila rupa charitai parama prakrishtai sadvena sattvikataya prabalaischa shastrai prakhyata daiva paramartha vidang mataischa naivasura prakritaya prabhavanti bodham. Srila Prabhupada's translation of this. I say Srila Prabhupada's translation because he often adds purport within the translation. Paramartha Vidam means persons who are knowledgeable of the highest necessity. So Srila Prabhupada translates it this, devotees like Vyasadeva Narada. So Vyasadeva Narada are not directly mentioned. So Srila Prabhupada's translation, my dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva Narada know you to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know your characteristics, your form and your activities, and one can thus understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you. However expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tvam shila rupa charitai parama prakrishtai. Your character, form, and activities are all super excellent, parama prakrishtai, and they're all strongly proclaimed in all the shastras in the mode of goodness. It's obvious to anyone, especially those who are great learned scholars like Vyasadeva Narada. But persons of demoniac disposition, they can't understand it, even though they are. Whoa, what's going on there? Even though they may be very great learned scholars of Shastra. There's another translation elsewhere. Yeah, elsewhere Srila Prabhupada translates this. Oh my Lord, those influenced by demoniac principles cannot realize you. Although you are clearly the Supreme by dint of your exalted activities, form, character, and uncommon power, which are confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness and the celebrated transcendentalness in the divine nature. In other words, it's obvious that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But due to demoniac propensity or foolishness, willing ignorance, people can't recognize Krishna. So why is Krishna hidden? Because we don't want to see him. That's what it comes down to. Why don't we don't want to see him? Because we want to enjoy sense gratification separate from him. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita again, chapter 8, text 22. Purusha saparaf parta bhaktya labhyastvanamnaya yasyandasthani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. So this describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all. He is present in his abode. He is all-pervading and everything is situated within him. So he's all-pervading, which is everywhere, and everything is within him. Then why can't it be understood? He is attainable by unalloyed devotion. So those who have unalloyed devotion, they can understand. Others, they're in the category of asura, mudha, abuddhaya. They cannot understand him. Foolish rascals and demons. So, that verse, yeah, maya javani ka channam. Let's read that also. We have a great treasure house of spiritual knowledge here. Nalakshyase. Oh, why doesn't that come up? Nalakshyase. I'm missing the S. Oh, okay. So, maya javanika channam agyad hokshajam abhyayam nalakshyase murhadrusha nato natyadharo yata. This is from the beginning of the Kunti's prayers. Oh, let's read the verse before that. The first of her prayers. Kunti uvacha namasye purushang tvadyam ishvaram prakrite param alakshyam sarva bhutanam. You know this verse? I see. Alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahiravastitam. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. So this topic is taken up again and again in Shastra, how Krishna is everywhere, he's in everything, he's outside everything, everything's in him, but still he's invisible, not seen to all. And then why, she says in the next verse, maya javanika channam agyad hokshajam avyayam nalakshase murha dusha nato natyadharo yata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. That's another verse in Bhagavad Gita which addresses the same subject. Why is Krishna not seen or understood? What's that verse? Not exactly that one, no. Same word, murha, comes up in it. Avajananti. Ah, you should recognize without me having to prompt you. Avajananti maam murha manushintanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto mamabhuta. What is it? Last line? Param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. Again, avyaya, that word comes. That's another name in Vishnu Sahasranam, Avyaya. All these terms are very important. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. So there you see, there's a definition there. We have all these words. Who are the people who can't understand Krishna? We've had the word mudha, asura abuddhyaha. So what is the defining or basic characteristic that makes people unintelligent, foolish, demons? They rebel against the authority of the Lord. Why are they less intelligent? Because they rebel against the authority of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada continues, such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. So that's the important point. They may see Krishna. Duryodhana saw Krishna. But he didn't recognize his authority. He thought, yeah, there's some person, some relative who's my enemy, but he didn't recognize Krishna's authority. When the Lord himself appears amongst us as Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, or in his original form as Krishna, he performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. Tamshila rupa charitai parama prakrishtai. Definitely everything about Krishna is superlatively wonderful, the acts that he performs. As we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature, Lord Sri Krishna exhibited his humanly impossible activities even from the days of his lying on the lap of his mother. He killed the Putana witch, although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby, and he sucked out her very life also. Similarly, he lifted the Govardhan hill just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella. You know what a frog's umbrella is?
Mushroom.
It's a mushroom, yeah. In Bengali, Bange Chata. So Prabhupada translated it. Bange Chata. It means frog's umbrella. So he, like a frog's umbrella, and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literatures like the Puranas, Itihasas, histories, and the Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of the Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities such as by Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Narad, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and all other authorities of the line. He himself has declared as such in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth. This whole purport is practically, it's a purport on this Tvamsila Rupa Charitai, exactly fits with that verse, explaining how Krishna is definitely supreme, how all great personalities accept him as supreme. He's described in all the authoritative shastras as supreme. But still there are people of demoniac mentality who don't accept him as the supreme. So this, yeah, okay. This is partially due to their poor fund of, there's a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize him as the Supreme Lord. So there, such persons are like the modern scientists. So these are different categories of asuras. Duryodhana was an asura. He didn't recognize Krishna as the supreme. Then modern scientists, they say, what have they got to do with Duryodhana? They're not denying Krishna. Well, indirectly, they don't even know Krishna. But in another way, they deny him. The modern scientist, they want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but it's not possible to know the Supreme Lord by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described herein as adhokshaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. That's another important name in Vishnu Sahasranama, Adhokshaja. All our senses are imperfect. Someone else come and hold this. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially of the woman class, that will come in the next verse, who are less intelligent. For less intelligent men, there must be such things as temples, mosques, or churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about him from authorities in such holy places. For less intelligent men, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship, which are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. For less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in the temples, mosques, or churches, is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon him by active service. Actually, in the churches, they don't exactly bow down, do they? They kneel down. They get as far as kneeling, but they don't bow fully down. And even in the church, they go with their shoes. In India also they do that? They adopted... I thought maybe in India they wouldn't wear shoes because it's so funny to wear shoes inside. In the temple or the mosque, they won't wear shoes. Oh, they should wear some... Yeah. It's so funny that the priest is doing the service with his shoes on. And then they drink some wine. Anyway, okay, more from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. Oh yes, this is another verse from Yamuna Acharya Stotra Ratna, which is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here it is. It's the same theme. That's why I'm reading it. Ulangita trividha sima samatishai sambhavanam tava parivardhima svabhavam maya balena bhavatapi niguhyamanam niguhyamanam. Did you hear that? Guhya. Pashanti kejit anishang twad ananya bhavam. Ha, va, ha. O my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequal and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitation. So that's why Krishna's guhya, because everything within our experience is limited. The trividha sima, three kinds of limitation: space, time, and thought. Thought here meaning ability to conceptualize. But Krishna's beyond all of that. But he appears within this world as if he is limited by these things. And then from time to time, he does things like lifting the Govardhan hill, which are impossible. But then people say, well, we don't believe it. They still do up to the present time. They'll deny anything which they don't believe in, so-called scientists. Just like some years ago, there was this Ganesh drinking milk thing, and scientists just denied it. I was in Delhi when the news came. And Lokanath Maharaj was there. He said, okay, let's try it out. I was in ISKCON, Delhi.
London also.
Yeah, it went all over the world. So we got Ladu Gopal deity, and he drank the milk. And they said it's due to capillary action, but it's Ashta Dhatu, metal deity. There's no capillary action. But they don't want to believe it. So how are they going to believe that Krishna lifted a hill for 7 days? They just don't want to. It doesn't fit within what they consider to be rational. So it's not so much that Krishna hides himself, but they themselves hide Krishna from themselves. They don't want to see him. So, oh my Lord, I'll go through the translation again. Oh my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless, your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. So Krishna is guhya, but not to the pure devotees. In fact, he can't even hide himself from them. Even if he tries to hide himself, but they can recognize him. He's the Supreme. So Krishna wants us to understand him, but he's not cheap. He wants to give himself to us, but there are some conditions also. Otherwise, if he gives himself to us in material consciousness, then still we can do that. People do that also. They think, oh, now they want to explain Krishna in material terms. But to have the full gift of knowing Krishna, then one has to expand one's consciousness and accept him as avyayam, as inexhaustible, eternal, unlimited. Otherwise, with our material conceptions, if we accept Krishna while remaining within this very limited level of consciousness, then it's not really accepting Krishna, and we won't get the real benefit of accepting Krishna. If we take him to be just something of this material world, which means we take him to be something, some instrument for our enjoyment. Okay, I should finish there because I'm only supposed to speak for maximum half an hour. There's so much more to be said. But I'll stop there now. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Just one thing I want to say there. One more thing I'll say there. Is that, you see, even one word we can find within Shastra, with the essence of which Srila Prabhupada has given us with explanation. You can find so much explanation in there. Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita, then there is Srimad Bhagavatam, then great acharyas like Yamuna Acharya, they have again taken out certain themes and commented on them. And then Srila Prabhupada in his purports has in great detail explained all this to us. So there's no reason why Krishna should remain guhya if we want to understand him. Teshang satata yuktanam bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. If we want to understand Krishna, Krishna will give us the intelligence by which we can understand him. In other words, he won't be guhya. Hare Krishna. Sorry?
How is it possible to understand Kunti?
Kunti, she is the only
one who understands this type of supreme. She explained
Well, she wasn't the only one who recognized Krishna. As Prabhupada writes here, the Bhishma, the Pandavas, Vyasa certainly understood Krishna.
At least he's become devotee and he's able to understand. But Kunti, how she got the...
No, Kunti's also a devotee.
No, how she became that devotee?
No, she's an eternal associate of Krishna. She wasn't that she was a demon and someone came and preached her and she became a devotee. She is an eternal associate of Krishna. She is not like us, who we're just floating in Maya, and then by Prabhupada's mercy we got some idea of Krishna consciousness. She is an eternal associate, just like the Pandavas are eternal associates of Krishna, and their mother is also. Hare Krishna.